We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land. Climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward 'tis our Lord's command. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Wafted on the rolling tide. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Tell to sinners far and wide. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing ye lions of the sea. Echo back ye ocean caves. Earth shall keep her jubilee. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing above the battle strife. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. By his death and endless life. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing it softly through the gloom. When the heart for mercy craves, sing in triumph o'er the tomb. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Give the winds a mighty voice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free. Highest hills and deepest caves. To this our song of victory. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Amen. We'll sing Blessed Assurance. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above. Echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above. Filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Amen. We'll sing Standing on the Promises. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing. standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises I now can see, perfect present cleansing in the blood for me. Standing in the liberty where Christ makes free. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to Him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises, I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Amen. Got an extra verse in there. We'll sing, "Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus." "Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, us, Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that thou art with me, wilt be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. All right. Thank you, Miss Karen. Thank you, Brother Jeremiah. Thank you, Miss Lori, back there in the sound booth. And thank you, Brother Gene, for the security today. And for the rest of you, happy Mother's Day, moms. Hope you're having a good day today, and hope this is your special day, gets to be your special day. And it's exciting times for Mother's Day, even in the midst of the quarantine, right? Exciting times. Well, you know what's going on today. A lot of people are going to be getting together for some less than 10 dinners, or maybe 12 or 15 dinners, and people are going to be real careful and have their masks on and really wash up and Germex, but people are going to get together today. It's just going to happen, and folks are going to celebrate moms, and perhaps they're outside or perhaps they're inside, but they're going to do that. And so people have some schedules they want to keep to, I'm sure. And so if this was ever the day to be, to try to get going and get with it, this would be the day, right? Mother's Day. So let me try to give that as a gift to you, ladies, get you off and on to the rest of your day to see if we can get through this in a timely fashion. Amen? All right, so we're in 2 Timothy. I'll give you a moment to turn there, 2 Timothy. Our passage this morning is found in two chapters. The first chapter is chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. The second chapter is chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. Chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. Second chapter, chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. Are we in 1 Timothy? No, it's 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, all right. Chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. If you found it this morning, would you say amen? All right. So 2 Timothy, chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. 2 Timothy, chapter 1, beginning in chapter 1. There it is. Chapter 1, verse 5. Here we go. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, listen to that, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois, and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. Verse 6, for this reason I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. Now if you'll flip through 2 Timothy just a couple of chapters over, get to chapter 3. Verses 14 through 16, chapter 3, verses 14 through 16, the Word of God reads, You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood, look at that, and that from childhood, you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And one of my most favorite verses in all the Bible, right here, verse 16, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, Lord. We're thankful for moms today. We're thankful for this Mother's Day 2020. And Lord, we pray this would be a special day for the moms. And Lord, they would just get to soak it all in, all the goodness and all the thankfulness that everyone expresses to them from their children and their spouses and all of those different things. Lord, just may it be a high time in each and every mother's life. We're thankful for them. And Lord, as we look at this passage, we're thankful for your word. And Lord, we're thankful for the home. We're thankful for kids. We're thankful for marriage and how you, Lord, tie it all together. And Lord, we pray as we go through this passage, if there's someone here among us listening live or listening to this recording here in a few hours or a day or two that doesn't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, we pray that through the preaching of the inerrant Word of God, that Lord, you would convict hearts, you would draw hearts to you, and Lord, those that are struggling with the fact that they're not saved, they would finally give in and give it over and surrender, and they would receive Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Thank you that you save. Thank you for saved moms, and we thank you for moms that are lost but on the verge of salvation. We thank you for them today as well, that maybe even through this message and through what they experienced today, this will be the hour, the day of their salvation. We love you today, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. It's in your name we pray, and everyone said, amen. All right. Well, the story goes, a teenager entered the kitchen there at his house one evening where his mother was, as she often did, was preparing dinner. As the boy made his way through the room, through the great room, into the kitchen, his mother's phone buzzed with a new text message. It was that text message alert. He then took a seat at the table, staring at his mother as he waited quietly. When she found some time from her dinner preparations, Mom dried her hands on a dish towel. She picked up her smartphone from the counter, opened it up, and this is what she read that her son had texted her. He texted, "Mowing the yard, $25. Cleaning my room all week, $10. Running errands, $10. 2 hours of babysitting for his little sister, $15. Taking out the garbage twice that week, $5. Maintaining good grades, 6 or 7 classes, he's asking for $30. Total owed, $95. And then he put, that's what he texted, "Prefer cash, but will take payment via Venmo or PayPal." You got to love the kid's entrepreneurship, right? The boy studied his mother as she examined his text bill. She kind of looked over at him. She didn't say anything. But then she began to respond back to his text with her own text. Her thumbs were ablazing. And in a few moments, as she would cut her eyes back over to her son and almost snicker and raise her eyebrows and give him that, you know, that look, right? She finally hit send, set her phone back on the counter, and continued with her meal preparations. Suddenly, the boy's phone, it alerted a new text message from his mother. He opened the text, and this is what he read. 9 months of pregnancy, no charge. Late night feedings, no charge. Diaper changes, no charge. Potty training, no charge. Bandaging scrapes and scratches, no charge. Bedtime stories, no charge. Doctor and dentist visits, no charge. Taxi service, no charge. Academic tutoring, no charge. Seasonal cheerleading, no charge. Hugs and encouragement, no charge. Etiquette training, no charge. Food procurement and meal preparation, no charge. Then she texted clothes, toys, electronics, and entertainment, no charge. Finally, she put down sports, clubs, camps, and organizational fees, no charge. Then she totaled it all up and said, total owed, no charge. Well, when the boy looked up from his phone, his eyes were beginning to tear up and get a little misty-eyed, filling with tears. He responded by putting his phone down and going over to his mom and giving her a big bear hug. And as he hugged her, he looked up into her face and he apologized for his bill, and he told her that his bill to her was paid in full. Now, we read all that, and we think, man, what an amazing mom. We read all that, and we think about our mothers. What amazing people, right, to do this for us, the diaper changes and the potty training and the taxi service and everything that goes with it. A wise man once described a mother as a woman who combines the practical and the spiritual into a way of life. A mother wipes little noses, mends little clothes, washes little faces, and points little eyes to the stars and little souls to eternal things. Our passage this morning that we find in this pastoral epistle to Timothy, the second Timothy, our passage this morning reveals such a person named Eunice, the mother of Timothy. Surely, surely she did the practical things that are so much a part of mothering, and Paul clearly states that she was faithful in her spiritual duty as she pointed her son's little eyes to the stars and his soul to eternal things. Amen? So several things about Eunice mark a great mother. Mark a great mother. And let me just say for you today, as we go through this, you may begin to compare yourself as a mom, and you may say, well, you know, I'm not quite that example of Eunice. And some of you may think, well, I'm not even close to that example of Eunice. Now, let me tell you something. This is a great model of what mom can be, and it's never too late. It's never too late to be that great mom. It's never too late to do that. We seek the Lord in repentance, and we ask for the Holy Spirit's guidance if we're saved, right? If we're saved. And man, we realize that by the grace of God, none of us are perfect. We realize that, and we realize that we can be a great mom. And for some of us today, we're thinking, you know, Pastor, I really didn't have a great mom. I really didn't have one. I mean, it was pretty rough in the old household. Pastor, I just got to say, it was sometimes just awful. Well, friend, what I want to tell you today is you need to tap the grace of God. And you need to think about how far you've come. You need to think about how you're watching some preacher online today receiving the Word of God. And at the very least, perhaps your mom, not a great mom, but your mom, showed you what not to do. And in a sense, sometimes being shown what not to do helps us know what we ought to do. And so sometimes in God's sovereignty, everything kind of works out in the end, right? Everything kind of works out in the end. And for some of you today, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Pastor, I really do miss my mom. I really do miss her. Friend, I want to tell you something. If your mom was saved, if she was a Christian, and you're a saved believer today, let me tell you what the Bible holds for us. Let me tell you what eternity holds for us. Let me tell you what Jesus says about that. We're all going to be together one day at the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's going to be glorious and amazing. The main thing you want to make sure of is if your mom was saved, that you're saved as well. Because one day there'll be a sweet, sweet reunion between those that you love here on earth and those that you find in heaven that you love down here. It's going to be awesome and great, right? So just some thoughts as we begin to go through this, right? Several things about Eunice that mark her as a what? Mark her as a great mother. Number one, a great mother influences her child toward Christ. Verse 5, I want to say that's all the way back to verse 1. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that is in you as well. A great mother influences her child toward Christ. Lois and Eunice both did that, right? Now, we're talking about Eunice today, but we can trace Eunice's Christianity. We can trace Eunice's faithfulness all the way back to her mother, Lois, right? What's the bottom line we're talking about here this morning? The bottom line is this. The strongest influence in any person's life is their home. That is the strongest influence. You take a real good biography, and not all biographies are good, but you take the real good ones. The good biographies never begin with their subject. The good biographies always go back to the parents of the subject, always go back to the grandparents, always trace out a legacy that has been going on in the individual that the book is about. a child's mother is her children's chief example for much of that child's formidable years. Several years ago, under a cartoon of a kangaroo with a little baby kangaroo in the pouch, in the kangaroo mama's pouch, the caption read this: "His mother determines his point of view." And that's, friend, that sums it up right there. And that's true of every child as well. Children mirror their mother's outlook on life and copy her every habit. It's just what happens. A recently married groom walked into the kitchen of their small apartment to find his bride of 3 days. She was sawing off the end of a ham, getting ready to put the ham in the oven. The new groom said, "Why are you cutting off the end of the ham?" I mean, that was his question. She says, "Because my mother always did it that way." Well, a few weeks later, the newlywed couple were with his in-laws, and so he had a chance to ask his new mother-in-law. He says, "Your daughter tells me you always saw off the end of a ham before you bake it, and I just got to ask, I want to know why." Well, frankly, his mother-in-law said, "I do it because my mother did it. You better ask her." So this young groom was really perplexed about the whole thing, and so the young husband, he acquired the number of his mother-in-law's mother. He called the grandmother, who lived out of state, and the conversation goes like this: "Grandmom," he said, "can you tell me why you always cut off a ham before you bake it?" "Sure," she said. She said, "I never owned a large enough pan to bake the whole ham," right? And so, two generations later, they're still doing it. What tremendous influence a mother holds over a child. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 44 reads, "Behold, everyone who quotes Proverbs," Ezekiel 16, 44, "behold, everyone who quotes Proverbs will quote this proverb concerning you, saying, like mother, like daughter." Children absorb. I mean, they're just sponges. They absorb their mother's ideals. They soak up their mother's values when it comes to the issues of honesty, when it comes to the issues of patience, when it comes to the issues of kindness and hope and responsibility. Every mother owes it to her children to use her influence, to use her motherly influence, to turn them toward Jesus Christ. Number one, a great mother influences her child toward Christ. Number two today, a great mother remains faithful despite her heathen husband. Well, I've got some attention now, don't I? A great mother remains faithful despite her heathen husband. We know that Eunice did. She remained faithful. Acts chapter 16, verse 1, the Word of God reads, "Paul came also to Derbe in Lystra," Acts 16, 1, "and a disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer," Acts 16, 1. And then it says, adversative conjunction, conjunction, junction, what's your function? Here it is, adversative conjunction, "but his father was a Greek." You know what it's saying there? You know what the loose paraphrase of that is? Timothy's father was hardly a Jewish proselyte. He was hardly a proselyte to the Jewish faith. The inference from Acts 16:1 is that his father was an unbelieving Greek who may have made things hard in the home. One of those, huh? Oh, my soul, one of those. How had Timothy's parents come to be married? We don't know. We don't know how that happened. But as a believer, Eunice obeyed God's command through Paul to make the best of a less than ideal situation. That command or advice or counsel is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 12 through 14. The Word of God reads this: "But to the rest I say, not the Lord, that if any brother has a wife who is an unbeliever and she consents to live with him, he must not divorce her." Verse 13, "And a woman who has an unbelieving husband and he consents to live with her, she must not send her husband away." Verse 14, 1 Corinthians 7, for the unbelieving husband is sanctified through his wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified through her believing husband. For otherwise, your children are unclean. The Word of God ends saying this in verse 14, but now they are holy. Do you know what that passage is saying to us? God promised to care for the children raised in a divided home, lost, saved, saved, lost. He promised to care for the children raised in a divided home if the mother, saved father, is obedient to his will and purpose. Timothy is living proof that God keeps his word. Timothy is living proof of that. Now, many women with an unsaved husband, either a husband who assumes no responsibility for raising his children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, or a husband who actively opposes her efforts to raise their children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, many a woman has grown discouraged and simply quit. And it's understandable sometimes. Sometimes the home can get very, very difficult for a saved individual married to a lost individual. But Eunice, she stuck with it. Eunice was faithful to the end. Her divided family did not discourage her or dampen her desire to lead her children to know Christ. And so a great mother remains faithful despite her heathen husband. A great mother influences her child toward Christ. And number three this morning, a great mother teaches her child from the earliest years. From the earliest years. If you'll flip on over to chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, and that from childhood. See that little phrase there? And that from childhood. 2 Timothy 3, verse 15. 2 Timothy 3, 15. A great mother teaches her child from their earliest years. We know that Eunice did that. We know that Eunice did that. This word in the Greek, childhood, may refer to an infant, all the way down to an infant, as well as to an older child, which means that when Timothy was just a baby, before he was able to understand what she was saying, Eunice did what? She began to sing to him of Jesus and tell him how much Christ loved him, which means as a toddler, just learning to walk and talk, Eunice taught young Timothy such truth as he was able to grasp. She would teach him the love of God. She would teach him to honor and obey his parents. She would teach him to behave himself accordingly. Which means, when we think about this term childhood in the Greek, which means according to Jewish custom, at the age of 5 years old, Timothy began his formal instruction in the sacred scripture. And guess what? His daddy's a Greek. His mama's a Jew. Guess where he's not going? He's not going to the synagogue. He's not going to be trained under the tutelage of a rabbi that 10 families have hired, at least 10 families have hired, to educate their children in the scriptures. He's not going to get to go there because he's half Greek, half Jewish. So who's going to be doing it? Eunice and Lois are going to be doing it. Right? See, a child is never too little to learn. Friend, I want to tell you, they are sponges. They soak it up no matter what. In fact, children learn even if their parents make no effort to teach them at all. Kids still learn. A child learns what he lives with. Some children will grow up to be quarrelsome because that is the atmosphere in their home. Quarrelsome. Others grow up to be critical and cynical. Others grow up to be sneaky and dishonest. Others grow up to be irresponsible for the same reason. That's what they're living in. That's what they see. There's a dangerous notion that recycles every now and again. And that dangerous notion is this, that parents should not teach a child religious truth. That parents should not expose their kids to spiritual things. Instead, this is what these so-called experts, if you would say, this is they argue that each child should be left alone to make their own decisions when they're old enough to do so. Some even say that to force religion, spiritual matters on a child is just another form of abuse. However, one must ask, if these ill-informed folks follow the same philosophy with respect to a child's diet, should a baby choose between eating dog food or baby food? What about clothing? Should a parent force a child to wear proper clothing in inclement weather or let them catch a cold or worse if they run around the neighborhood half naked? How about hygiene? Well, this is a good one for discussion. What responsible parent lets their child choose whether to bathe or to brush their teeth? All four of my kids, there were a time in their lives when bathing just wasn't very important to them. Neither was putting on a deodorant. Neither was brushing their teeth. And what did me and my beautiful wife try to do? We tried to get them to brush their teeth. There was a time, each one of my kids' lives, there was a time, and it's all a blur now because, you know, at one time they were all a lot littler and it was a whole lot more complicated getting them ready in the morning. But there was a time where Dad brushed their teeth or Mom brushed their teeth. I mean, they'd bring them little pearly whites in there and we'd be scrubbing them things down. Now, hey, they got to a point where, you know, they take their own bath, but they come out of the bath, and boy, if there wasn't a sweet smell, if there wasn't a good smell, it was back to the bath. You didn't wash with soap. Oh, you got in there and got wet, but you didn't wash behind the ears and all the other stuff, right? And so, well, we get down to this hygiene thing, and man, kids would choose. Why do I need to brush my teeth or take a bath, right? But we don't do that. And what about school? Remember when we used to have school and kids actually went to the school house, went to their schools? What about school? That's coming back. I hate to be the bearer of bad news to some of the kids that are staying at home, but going back to school is coming back. But you remember in the past when they went to school, should a parent let their child sleep in on Monday morning or Friday morning or Wednesday morning because they do not want to go to school, or to neglect their homework because they would rather play on their game system or their technology or their smartphone or their iPad or their laptop or spend all day and night on YouTube or watch the Late Late Show? I mean, come on, right? No, Pastor, we're going to take some leadership there, right? Well, if we don't operate that way when it comes to these things, then why would we operate that way when it comes to spiritual things? Why would we operate that way? Why then would one assert parental responsibility in health and education and other areas of life, such as diet and clothing, yet back away from exerting influence and responsibility in the infinitely more important things of the Spirit? Right? A great mother teaches her child from the earliest of years. What does she do? She remains faithful despite her heathen husband. What is a great mother? She influences her child toward Christ. And fourth and finally this morning, a great mother teaches her child the Bible. She teaches her child the Bible. And that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Wow. A great mother does what? She teaches her child the Bible. As soon as Timothy was teachable, his mother taught him the Bible. She may have begun by teaching him pieces of verses from the Word and little songs about God. As he grew older, the teaching became more and more intense, and this was more than mere rote teaching. The Word of God we're looking at this morning says, you have known. You have known. In the Greek, we study that. It renders a word that means a knowledge derived from a thorough perception of the truth that is taught. So they're not just these kids here, Timothy here in the New Testament, kids today that really get it. They're not just regurgitating information. They're actually applying the information to their little behaviors and to their little lives. It suggests that Eunice not only taught Timothy the facts related in the Scriptures, but she also led him to appreciate the meaning and the application of the truth to make God's truth a part of Timothy's daily life. Right? See, the question you might want to ask yourself this morning, the question you might want to grapple with is, whose primary responsibility is it? Whose primary responsibility is it that my kids read the Bible and that my kids exercise their God-given privilege to pray? Whose primary responsibility is that? Well, I'll tell you this, it's not the schools. And it's not the churches. And it's not your pastor. The primary responsibility is the parents. It's yours. It's your responsibility. Wow, man, you're getting a little strong on Mother's Day. Well, that's all right. One of the ways that parents can teach their children the Bible is taking them to a Bible preaching and Jesus-loving church. And you're going to get to do that again here in about 3 more weeks, I think, right? Bring them. Bring them in. And not only bring them to the church, don't just drop them off at the church, but come on into the church yourself, get involved with that church, learn yourself in that church, internalize with them in that church the Scriptures. I want to tell you to change your home. It'll change your kids. It'll change you. It'll change your life. Long before there were schools, long before there were churches like we call them today, God said to the heads of the homes of the people of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 12, Deuteronomy 31, 12, He said, assemble the people, the men and the women and children and the alien who is in your town, so that they may hear and learn and fear the Lord your God and be careful to observe all the words of His law. Teaching children the Scriptures will not save them. They still have to exercise their faith. But God can and God will use their knowledge of the Bible, of the Scripture, to guide them to faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior. You're just doing nothing but planting seeds upon seed upon seed. But there is more that God's Word will do for your kids. So much more. Scripture is useful for teaching children what to believe, for teaching, for reproof, the Word of God says, or for doctrine, or for reproof, depending on your translation, and how to behave, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, or your translation, for correction, for training in righteousness. Often, when a child asks why they cannot do something, why they cannot do a thing, do this or do that, the parent's reply is simply, because I said so, right? Because I said so. You're not doing that because I said so. Or you're doing this because I said so. How much better for the mother to show them from the Bible why doing a thing, why doing this or that is wrong or not for the best, right? Thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord, is far stronger than because I said so. Oh, friend, it's a whole lot stronger than that. As we think about this, as we rest in these words today, as we're encouraged in our spirits or convicted, however we may be at this point, Paul's purpose in this passage was to challenge Timothy to remember and practice the eternal truth that he had learned at his mother's knee. Chapter 3, verse 14. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Verse 15. And from childhood, right? and from childhood. The apostle called on Timothy and his later readers, that's me and you, to continue in the things that we have learned. So for one person this morning, for one person today, to continue in the things you have learned may mean to place your faith and trust in the Savior of your mother who loved you and served you, friend, right? For another, continuing in the things you have learned, it may mean to continue to follow their God, to follow their God on the rugged road of life. And for yet another, it may mean continuing the things you have learned. It may mean to return to the paths of righteousness, to return to these paths of righteousness in which their mother placed their feet on, but from which they have strayed, right? And so we end with how we began. Pastor, I want to be a great mother. I don't know if I'm where I need to be as a mom. I want to tell you, God loves you as a mom. I want to tell you, if you're saved today, man, the Holy Spirit's in you. I want to tell you what you need to do is just simply repent. And if you need to apologize, apologize. Just pull that fork out. Get that fork on out. Eat that crow. Start afresh. Allow the Holy Spirit to help you. Remember, your kids may be adults. Remember, you may already be a grandparent. You still want to be that great mother. You want to be that great grandmother. Not that you want to be a great grandmother, but you want to be you don't understand what I'm saying. You want to be great, right? It's never too late. It's never too late. Pastor, my mother was not great. You say, Pastor, she just was not great. In fact, it was awful. It was difficult. Remember, tap the grace. Tap the grace and realize, look back over your life. Man, you're saved today. You're headed for the day of redemption. You're listening to a preacher online. That's how much you love the Word of God, right? And so just tap the grace that has been afforded to you and just rejoice that God has not forgot you, right? And you can be that great mother or that great father or that great aunt or uncle or that great mentor, right? You can be that. You can be that. And then again, as we end, Pastor, I miss Mom. You know, Mom's been gone for a year, 10 years, 20 years. I miss my mom. Well, friend, if she was saved and you're saved, I'm telling you, you're going to be together one day, walking the streets of gold, enjoying the marriage supper of the Lamb, worshiping Jesus for all eternity together. That's coming. That's happening for you. Amen. If she was saved and you're saved. The main thing to get, am I saved, right? And so as we get ready to end this today, as I get ready to close this thing down with a word of prayer and we transition on through the rest of the day, if you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, please don't hesitate to give me a text or a call. I would love to talk to you about what it means to know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. I'd love to just share some verses with you and talk to you about how everyone is a sinner and how God is taking care of our sin issue by sending His Son, Jesus Christ. And man, you know, it really comes down to our decision, you know. Holy Spirit convicts us, and it really comes down to our decision. Are we going to receive the free gift of salvation in the person of Jesus Christ? Are we going to do that? Are we going to invite Jesus Christ into our lives and into our hearts to be our personal Savior and Lord? It takes coming to the point, salvation takes coming to the point where we realize we're sinners and that we're in need of a Savior. And then rejoicing in the fact that God has sent that Savior, His one and only Son, who died on the cross, shed His blood, His perfect blood, to cover our sin, so that when we receive Him as our personal Savior and Lord, and God then looks down upon us, He sees His Son, and He doesn't see our sin, right? It's a beautiful thing. Salvation is an incredible thing. It's the greatest miracle of all the universe, salvation, a sinner getting saved. It's incredible. It's awesome. So if you've not done that and you know you need to do that, you're feeling it in your heart, friend, we want to hear from you. We want to get a text from you, a phone call, and we want to discuss that in great depth about what it means, friend, for you to receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. For the rest of you moms, thank you for being great moms. Man, thank you for being great grandmothers. Not that you're a great grandmother, but you're a grandmother that's great. Yay, all right, I'm getting it there. Thank you for being that. Enjoy the rest of your day. Have an awesome day. Know that Pastor Steve loves you. Looking forward to getting back together with you first Sunday in June. So now we're kind of on the countdown. Haven't heard anything negative come out of the governor about shutting things back down. And so we'll be waiting to see what transpires here in the next week, week and a half. And that'll be about 14, 16 days from since they've loosened all these things and starting to open things up. We'll see if there's going to be a big rebound and all that stuff. So pray. Amen. Stay in the Word of God. Stay faithful. Thank you for being a good church. Continue on in that and know that God loves you. Pastor Steve loves you. We're praying for you. You pray for me. Thank you for all you do. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and we'll be dismissed. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us and for saving us. And Lord, we're thankful for the mothers today. And Lord, thankful for the mothers that we have received. Lord, we don't get to pick our moms. We're just kind of given to one. And Lord, we're thankful for that, that you've given us life. And Lord, you've birthed us into this world. And you've formed us in the womb. And you've knitted us. And you know everything about us, Lord. We praise you and we thank you for that. Lord, I pray that we'd be faithful. Lord, that we would have a great week as we go through this today, this Mother's Day. And Lord, we would just start the week off on a positive, spiritual, loving note. Lord, help us be that exuberant testimony of what Jesus has done in each of our hearts and each of our lives. May people look at us different, even if we've got a mask on. May they look at us different. May they see the grace and the love of Christ in our eyes. And Lord, even though we can't touch one another, shake a hand, hug a neck, Lord, may they just see Jesus in us. May we be found in the Word of God this coming week. May we be found in prayer this coming week. And Lord, may you get the glory and the honor from it. Be with those that need to make decisions, Lord. I pray that you would convict that sinner's heart to the point that they could not run, they could not deny the faith any longer. And Lord, they would break surrender. They would come to you and pray to receive you as their personal Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for church. Thank you for these folks today. It's in your name we pray. And God's people said, amen. You folks are dismissed. We'll see you Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. If creek don't rise and something like that, I don't know. Take care. Have a blessed afternoon.